Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Tribute to the Cat. This is his favorite new edition.
Wow, wow, wow. Ralph Tresvant, new edition.
Is that who that
84?
Is? I don't know the years.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today is at 9:45, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Text into the program, 855-282-8255. Jim Ross, good old JR at 8:30. Doug, he wants to talk it over with you.
That's a slobber knocker, Kate!
See?
Well, I do miss the football.
Jane Fonda had a chance to sit down with Megyn Kelly. Doug.
Oh, Lord.
What do you...
Jane Fonda. How could anyone want to watch or hear anything that Jane Fonda
I'm a huge fan.
Say?
She's on Grace and Frankie, my favorite show, so...
Because she was a traitor to this country? You know that part of her history?
I meant her acting ability.
But do you know that part of her history as a traitor to
the country? I try to avoid it. But you want to play with him?
You shouldn't avoid it.
This was the frosty interaction between Megyn Kelly and 79-year-old Jane Fonda on Kelly's new show Wednesday.
You've been an example to everyone in how to age beautifully and with strength and unapologetically. You admit you've had work done, which I think is to your credit, but you look amazing. Why did you say, I read that you said you felt... You're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
The Hollywood legend sure didn't look pleased.
What the hell is that?
We really want to talk about that?
Fonda was there with 81-year-old Robert Redford promoting their new film, Our Souls at Night.
Well, one of the things people think about when they look at you is how amazing you look.
Well, thanks.
It comes on the heels of Will and Grace actress Deborah Messing saying she now regrets going on Kelly's show because of this moment.
Is it true that you became a lawyer and you became gay because of Will?
Regret going on, Messing just posted, dismayed by her comments. Messing and the rest of the cast of Will and Grace were there to promote the reboot of the comedy classic.
So that was just a joke, wasn't it? The gay comment?
Yeah, but she took it seriously. She said she regretted going on the show, and she was the first guest, so that's not a good start to the show.
No, maybe not. Well, it's not a good start ever to have Jane Fonda on your show either.
She didn't sound frosty.
How does frosty sound?
Well, pissed off. I don't know what is that question. That's stupid. She just... You're going to start with that? And then the whole crowd's laughing. And what the hell has happened to Megyn Kelly?
She says she's tired of playing the politics. Now she's just going to be
Oh, is that right? Did she say that?
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that the thing wasn't working?
I am not sure. Probably, because she took a lot of hate from both sides on the last political cycle.
Kind of a fun exchange here with the Barstool chicks discussing news of Khloe Kardashian's pregnancy. Take a listen.
So since we're Barstool Sports, we wanted to report that Tristan Thompson from the Cleveland Cavaliers basketball player is having a baby with Khloe Kardashian. Those Kardashians always just slipping their way into the news.
I wish we had other things to talk about this week, but it's just Kardashian week.
Maybe there wasn't enough viewers for their 10th anniversary. Boom, another pregnancy. Now when the season comes out, everyone's going to watch.
I was not really surprised by this news. She said in the season finale, like of last season, that she stopped taking her birth control.
But now like knowing I'm not on birth control, that's just like, it's scary. It's like a really big step.
Now they're just going to be all like hormones flying all over the place, and they're all going to be f***ing insane the entire season.
Kim's going to have a baby. Chloe's going to have a baby. Kylie's going to have a baby.
Kendall, you're up.
There's going to be so many Kardashians and like the next generation.
Here's another tip, Kris Jenner. Kardashian mom instead of team mom.
I just can't wait to watch next season. I just can't wait. All these gals having babies.
God, that's a good segment. Doug, that's Fran and Rhea. And the plowboy you like?
Oh, I'm Fran all day. Hashtag Team Fran.
Okay, don't say that. And if they're girls having babies, they're not really Kardashians. They're going to be family name with the, from the male, right?
Yeah, because I don't think any of them are married.
The Kardashians are so big that even the girls, the babies take the Kardashian name.
You think they get pregnant on purpose?
Well, it's kind of hard to do it accidentally.
Well, it can be if you just... I just think they all want the publicity. Has any of them, have any of them, other than the second one from Kanye, have any of them been married when they have kids?
Doug?
Oh, that seems to be overrated in some circles.
The first time I listened to your show, I became gay for Doug. It's from the hipster Tower Grove South.
Yeah.
I wasn't gay until I started listening to the show. It's from the Crystal City Clamor. See, they're taking the exchange with Jane Fonda and Megyn Kelly and then tying it in and making you out to be essentially...
Sure. Yeah, it's my fault because you had psychological issues, hipster. Are the Kardashians really that bizarre, or is it just that people report on it to such a level that they come off looking like attention seekers at all costs? I mean, is it all the Kardashians, or is it some of it the media just overplaying everything they do?
Well, I don't think all the Kardashians are looking for the publicity. The one that was married to Scott Disick, she kind of stays out of the limelight, and she's the best-looking one of them all. God, she's got a big ass, too.
Uh-huh.
That would be Courtney.
Courtney
Kardashian.
Kim has the largest caboose, right? Two axe handles wide? I'm not sure why that's
attractive. Really like girls with big butts.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of them out there.
John Lackey was the starter last night for the Cubs, Doug, as they clinched the National League Central.
Mm-hmm.
I see the best fans in baseball Twitter accounts having a big morning.
So is Cardinal Nation fan page on Facebook.
And what are they saying, Plowhawk?
Oh, they were not a fan of the celebration.
They were not a fan of the celebration.
Yeah, they were, well, and they're not a fan of John Lackey either.
They shouldn't be excited about the Cubs celebrating a division title on their field. Would you be... You'd be shocked if they were a fan, right?
Yeah, but they should be directing their anger towards maybe Matheny and the team rather than the team that beat them on the field, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I could see where a lot of fans would think that was horrible to watch the Cubs celebrate at Busch Stadium.
Well, here's John Lackey's thoughts.
It was going to be a vital amount, just knowing that one more out closer to the beer.
I'm always one more out closer to the beer. I mean, they just mean a little bit more than nine.
Do you like how you line up against the Nationals? I mean, I know it's still a week away, but
I think we're going to have a good time tonight. I don't really care about the Nationals.
Okay. Sorry to bother you.
That guy sounded kind of like Kame question. The beer question didn't really get out.
Yep. You ask a question about baseball, they say, no, we're going to party. You ask a question about the party, it's all about baseball. Sometimes you can't win. You just can't win.
Is he ever happy with a pitch? Does he ever think a pitch is a strike or a ball?
I don't think Lackey's ever happy, no. No.
Which is why, in the Calvin May, Matt Carpenter, Stan Musial question, there is no way that he was being serious when he said, sick.
No.
He was going...
running around here?
Sick. Yeah, that's what he said.
I mean, that was 100% smartass, which was totally justified for the record.
I think so.
But he denies it. Doug, Courtney didn't marry Scott, and Kim was married before she had her kids. They all are crazy. Thank you, Courtney D.
Okay. I'm just saying, are they mean-spirited about it, or are they doing something other than just making a whole lot of money on a TV show? I mean, there's a lot of people who do that. And they just get so much attention, people kind of want to blame the Kardashians for all the attention. Maybe it's the attention of the people who give them the attention. I mean, it's the fault of the media that overblows everything that they do.
Yeah, they bring it on themselves. But it's just people upset that these people are making all this money with having no talent.
Yeah.
Which, God love them.
Yeah, everybody with no talent tries to make a lot of money.
People think that Bruce Jenner became a woman just for the... just for the attention, and I think that's just stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. He had plenty of attention before that.
Doug, as we discussed, there's a college basketball scandal going on. Rick Pitino is one of the focal points at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And skateboarder Tony Hawk was on CNBC.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
I went out and did a story with Tony Hawk once at the Six Flags a few years ago.
Yeah, how'd it go?
And he was there promoting. They had named some ride after him, Tony Hawk. And I went out. And I met the PR person, And I said, now, which one is Tony Hawk? And he was standing like right next to me. He was deeply offended. Like, you don't know Tony Hawk? I said, I don't have a clue what Tony Hawk
is. Here's this exchange on CNBC.
I haven't really been following that story, but I do feel like there is a machine that is the team sport, especially in college. And it's more like you've got to fit into into that pattern in order to be successful. And it may not be that the kids are really enjoying it along the way. And I feel like you can't let them lose that passion for it.
Nice. I'm not sure what he said there.
I think the funny thing is that it didn't make sense. And why would you ask him that? I think he was taken back by the question.
He was asked a question about what he thought about the college basketball scandal.
This is right after talking about his video game career, yes.
I do think the college basketball thing is going to blow up to schools all over the country. When some schools start to get hit with major penalties, they're going to say, oh, yeah, they did it too.
Right now, it's assistant coaches from Arizona, Auburn, Louisville, Miami, Oklahoma State, and USC implicated in the investigation. Louisville's athletic director and Rick Pitino, their basketball coach, have been placed on administration leave.
Well, St. Louis U's got some problems coming up of their own here. I don't believe they're the recruiting problems. They're off-the-field issues that happened this last weekend. Haven't come out completely yet.
I think most people are not naive enough to think this doesn't happen, but I'm just wondering why the FBI decided to go after all this now.
I don't know. Somebody probably turned someone else in. There's probably a whistleblower somewhere along the line. It seems like something the NCAA ought to be going after, though, not the FBI, right?
Well, since it involves cash, and that's why the FBI is getting involved.
But almost every NCAA violation involves cash of some kind.
Yeah, but filtering it through channels, federal.
I think I'd rather the FBI look into other things and the NCAA take care of the policing of college basketball recruiting. But
my U of I basketball team might be in some heat. Well, maybe not heat, but Underwood, apparently his assistant at Oklahoma State, is a focal point of this. So
one of the guys who decommitted to Louisville yesterday is this kid from Webster, who's a mm-hmm. five-star recruit.
Courtney Ramsey.
Yeah. So maybe he'll stay home and go to Mizzou or St. Louis U.
Some of these assistant coaches should feel ashamed. I'm so lucky Syracuse has never had any major controversies with their assistant coaches.
Right.
Top-notch program, a top-notch head coach. That gets the white-collar game. He's a new father and a big Syracuse fan.
And when you say assistant coaches, you mean head coaches. You think this is going on without the head coach's approval? That the head coach never asks a question, hey, how do we get this great guy? What do we do? They're all clueless as to how the players wind up on their campus. It's all the assistants, of course. Seedy. And Pitino, I guess, is just as seedy as any of them. Sleazy.
Doug, it's a fraud case and money laundering. That's why the FBI is involved. That's from the old mud boot. You're a big old mud boot guy.
Yeah. Well, how is money being laundered there?
Jason Bateman operates a couple of things down in the Ozarks. And he...
That's a TV show. I'm saying this. If a money's going directly to an AAU coach, does that count for money laundering?
No, also, let's say Pitino gets a certain amount of money from the AAU coach or Adidas and doesn't file that in his tax form, that is fraud. That is tax
evasion.
And I think that's what they're looking into with coaches getting money on the side without claiming it.
Have you seen Lenardi's updated brackets since this?
Of course not. Of course not. They haven't even started practicing yet.
Close, though.
But Louisville went from a 2 seed to a 16 seed in the West, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A rare 16 seed for a power conference.
Yeah, now they're going to play in Salt Lake City.
Well, Jimmy Cruz, don't let me down, Jimmy. I've got you beating Louisville.
I miss Jim Cruz, too.
Guys, I think it's important to make a distinction between the recruiting portions of this and just the assistants taking bribes from agents. Two pretty different things.
The assistants taking bribes?
Yes, yes.
I'm saying the assistants represent the head coach, so the head coach should not be exonerated if his assistants are doing things. No, I don't believe any of these programs operate in a vacuum where the head coach doesn't know what the assistants are doing. Maybe there's some head coach who says, you get me this player, and I don't care how you do it, and I don't want to know how you do it, just get him here. But that counts as being part of the deal. So I hope if all these assistants get fired for this, I hope the head coaches go with them.
Hey, guys, you don't need to speculate. There's this little thing called the newspaper, which contains articles and gives details on what happened with the NCAA. I have attached the newspaper article if you would like to read it. Doug, that's from Carl Allen.
Reading somewhat overrated now.
Have you listened to the show over the years?
Just give me the headline if you would.
Well, there's a reason it's all assistant coaches, and there's not one head coach in there because of what Doug said.
Yeah, they'll take the fall, and these guys will be suspended for a year or two, and then they'll show up on someone else's staff down the road. And in the meantime, they'll all make several million dollars before they're 35 years old and then quit. And then heaven forbid any of the players get money while they're actually playing and making millions of dollars for the colleges, especially the football players. Bringing in millions of dollars for colleges. Ah, we can't give him a penny. But the coach, he can make $5 or $6 million a year, and the assistant linebacker coach can make $400,000 a year and all that. But we're not going to give a player anything. The whole college sports system is messed up.
Is that because of Missouri's uniforms?
That doesn't help. That does not help. That just shows you how screwed up they are in the mind that they would think anthracite or a bumblebee costume is what our football team needs to be wearing. I mean, who's making the decisions there? But at what meeting of the minds between athletic director, head coach, marketing guy, did they say, you know what, let's get away from the traditional uniforms that made us look like a cool team, gave us an identity. Let's wear bumblebee costumes. And they all said, sure, stinging, yes, let's do that. And that's what we've got now.
They've had some great wins in those bumblebees.
Yeah. And as often as not, our team that wears black and gold wears anthracite, all white, yellow, pink. It's disturbing to me.
Well, but it's all
that's what brings in the recruits. Only doggone it, this year we didn't get one from our own state. Not one, but boy, these recruits love those uniforms.
I was filling out a I won't say the school, because I think they're all like this. But for Gobble Bowl, I had to fill out this application for a item, and it was from a college basketball team for a coach's sign on a ball. And you can't get it if any of the things, if your organization has anything to do with kids between like 7th grade and 12th grade, because that would constitute something about if you're signing a ball for something that involves those kids, that may be a recruiting violation.
Yeah.
I did not understand that at all when it comes to charity, that you can't have a charity that has kids involved that may be recruiting age. Because that may lean them the right way because, he signed a basketball. I like this coach. I'm going to go there. I couldn't understand the whole thing.
No. Yeah, heaven forbid, in this case, a coach donated something to charity, so let's penalize him for that.
Yeah. If there's kids involved that are in recruiting age.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't get it.
Hopefully, I'll have another chance. And be sure I'll make the most out of it.
That was the ESPN sideline guy.
Have we seen him since that day?
Yeah, the next day he hosted Monday Night Countdown in Espanol, or did NFL Today, the Espanol version. So yeah, apparently he's a big deal on ESPN Deportes.
Yeah, he's ESPN Deportes, yeah. Yes. Doug, Gabe still has me blocked from his Facebook live chats for writing free Dotem over and over again. Thanks, Brandon in St. Charles.
Gabe has him blocked? He's worried about someone other than anyone here.
What's your take on Deke Dotem? What's your take on Deke Dotem? What's your take on Deke Dotem?
That got him blocked off somebody else's page, and we're supposed to be concerned with that.
I know it has something to do with McKernan's radio show. That's about it.
Who was that?
That's the Colonel getting a little frustrated during his chat. That's what happens, and it's not just Larry Nichol who gets frustrated during Facebook.
Sorry, I had to get rid of the free Dotem guy, whoever that might be.
I don't know.
My God, you ought to go to... He posted almost every night that there's a protest. I think his name is Reb Z TV.
Doug, you know Reb Z.
Reb Z TV.
He goes down to the protests and he Facebook Lives it or films it. And you go in there. I can't tell you how many fan page members there are. They start talking about French fries in there and free dotum right in the middle of this Reb TV protest. Anybody know where the good French fries are at? I'm like, oh my God, they're everywhere.
I don't know where the fries are. Even during a protest, you need a fry. Well, okay. That'll do it for this show. Where's the best place to get fries around here? Kirkland Brew House, I guess.
Kirkland Brew House. Clip that off. That can be used at any time on any show. That's good question. What do you think are the best fries? Three,
it's five,
four.
Guys.
It's Kirkwood Brew House here.
I mean, we're 20 feet away from Kirkwood Brew House.
What kind of fries you got here, pal?
They're seasoned. And they're thin and crispy seasoned fries.
Now, why are you talking that kind of accent?
Because Dusty Rhodes is one of my favorites.
All right.
They're seasoned.
I don't know that I've had the fries here.
Would you like some French fries, sir?
Yes, I would. Yeah, I'd like some fries. Okay, boy, I'll tell you what, this college basketball, I don't know.
I'm in a weird spot because Jim Ross is supposed to be on at 8:30, so I don't want to start on another thing when immediately, as soon as he pops up.
Because we never change topics just like that.
Right, thank you.
Right, we like to discuss something and really, really dive into it and tear it apart.
Okay, fine, but we might not be able to pay it proper attention.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Seamaster says we're waiting for the call.
Okay.
It's enough to make any man cross his legs and vow to keep his pants on for good. A 47-year-old man fractured his penis during a night of passionate sex with his new girlfriend. The patient, who was not named, felt a snapping sensation but claimed he did not feel any symptoms until 12 hours later. Incredibly, he was able to continue having sex and maintained his erection despite the injury usually leaving men in agony. It was only when his penis became bruised that he realized something was wrong and went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. He also had noticed blood in his urine, which was painful to pass. Mm-hmm. A penile fracture occurs when an erection is hit with considerable force. Mm.
Didn't that happen to Bill Clinton?
Where'd you get that? InfoWars?
No, this was years ago. I thought that happened to Bill Clinton.
I can't believe that would be out.
Oh, everything else is. A large amount of something that tastes like cardboard.
What in the hell? Sorry, is that Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah, I thought that one. Thank you for delicious fries.
Well, I'll listen to it. It's one of my favorite drops of all time.
I'll let you know when I find it.
How do you fracture it? Walk into a wall? I mean,
it's too violent, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, you would have to think like Lexington Steel's broken it like 400 times.
But wouldn't you have to fracture? Wouldn't have to like bend? Like it's Doug,
that's
smashed?
What we fracture.
Yeah, well, how are you bending it by, I'm not going to go into detail, but I would think you'd have to run into something and the force would make it stop and bend.
Doug, it happened to Rodman, not Clinton.
You're picturing it, aren't you, Doug?
I'm looking up Bill Clinton right now and see what problem he had. He had a curved penis. Okay.
Like that got out, that he had a...
Yeah.
Evan Stone
that
has that.
That was a big thing there.
Really?
A lot of people talked about Monica that.
Oh, because it was discussed in the deposition? Is that what?
Maybe.
I think Monica Lewinsky mentioned it.
Hot.
That's kind of when the country went off the rails, right then.
Well, you kind of just believed her that she wasn't doing it for the attention when 10 years later she still had the dress in the closet.
Carmen Electra broke Dennis Rodman's penis. Thanks, 314. Mm. That's true. I get her on.
Did she smash it?
I mean, I don't know.
Hit it?
I don't know. But stop these college basketball payments.
Guys, I fractured mine before when I forgot Doug let his butt plug in.
Who was this?
How are the two things related?
Big
who said that?
Dillies.
Who?
Craig, the CPA. The CPA.
Craig, the CPA, is suspended. He's suspended a period of 2 days' time. He'll do no auditing during that period. His name has gone into the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log. I'm writing it down with a Wright Business Products ink pen. Thank you for the ink. Thank you for the pin proper, right Z.
Hugh Beaumont broke his with Jack Lemmon. True story.
Not true story.
He was married. Got out of TV, moved back to Minnesota, and had a Christmas tree farm.
Hugh Beaumont.
Yeah.
What a wonderful story. Let's get him on. That'd be a fun little thing to tell.
Whereabouts in Minnesota?
I think I read Brainerd. I could be wrong.
Oh, way up north.
Doug, what if you got out of the industry? Range. Would you raise Christmas trees?
I would not go to the Iron Range in Minnesota. There's no way I'd go to northern Minnesota. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, he was from Minnesota.
Great people up there, but oh, the weather's horrendous.
I was a big Hugh Beaumont fan. I liked him.
Oh, yeah. Well, nice, steady father. Mm-hmm. Boy, he'd let the boys have it every now and then.
Stern, but he got the job.
Yes, stern, but boy, he got it done.
Nice take.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, reverse cowgirl is the most common position causing a fracture. Thanks. That's from Dr. Big, your friendly urologist. I guess he would know, Dr. Big.
Well, he's probably seen a little bit of everything in his line of work.
I'm picturing it, and that could be it. Because something would happen and then have to... Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, sure.
Doug's backside broke mine in the bathroom of the Cracker Barrel on Merrimack Bottom Road. That's from Peter
Dinklage. Just because you're getting specific doesn't mean it's true.
Hey, guys, stay woke.
Who said that, Tim?
Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Peter Dinklage's third leg suspended. Yes, suspended a period of 3 days' time for each leg.
I've been in that bathroom, and that'd be a tough place to bottom. Anybody else been in there?
I'm doing the paperwork now, Tim.
Where's that?
Somewhere in Manchester, because it got specific with a specific location that somehow makes it more
Doug,
believable.
Jim Ross is on the line, and now you're out of line. Now you're on a line because the great Jim Ross is joining us right now. Slobberknocker, my life in wrestling is the story of this gentleman, one of our favorites, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Ross. Good morning, JR.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much. How about those Sooners?
Hey, they're competitive.
They're competitive. Missouri's losing by 100 to Purdue, and Oklahoma goes to Columbus and wins, and you're talking about being competitive. That's like you're putting it in our face.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got the best interest in that Missouri program because they got some Oklahoma Sooner flavor on that team. Heupel's there.
Oh, yeah.
John Cooper's there. There may be others, but... So yeah, we keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
it speaks, guys, and what you guys talk about all the time. And I'm not going to hog your show here, but the blowing up, the implosion of the old Big 12, where Missouri left, and Nebraska left, and Colorado left, and A&M left, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, the conference is so. Isn't it just kind of now? I mean, don't get me wrong, you're still playing some good teams, but they're kind of just random schools from all over the place.
Yeah, it's become disjointed. And, you know, I just think that the Big 12 people got out-marketed, now promoted, and they let the former athletic director at Texas, DeLoss Dodge, pull them around by the short hairs.
Yeah, I was about to say it was all Texas that caused this.
Yeah, well, that's Texas.
As an Oklahoma guy, I figured I wouldn't be necessarily persuading you on that. Jim Ross is our guest here on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. The name of the book, Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling, and you tell your whole story here. So it's the whole thing. So for wrestling fans, it's background, of course, but for those who just love a great, really kind of an American dream story for a guy who grew up as an only child on a working farm, loved wrestling, and found any way possible to get involved, it's just a cool story. What made you to decide to sit down and tell your story, JR?
I hope, guys, it's got some qualities in it. You know, my book, you're not going to find who has the best headlock, who had the best body slam or whatever, who had the nicest tan, none of that stuff. My book is about a journey from the farm in eastern Oklahoma to the garden in New York City, in this case, Madison Square, and great stops along the way, including St. Louis, one of the great resting cities of all time. So I just thought that if I can achieve what I've been fortunate enough to achieve and cross the hurdles that have been put before me, why the hell can't somebody else do it? So if there's some kid out there that wants to read a book about an unlikely success story, that if you don't give up on your game, you damn sure can win it. If you don't have a jersey, you're not in the game, promise you, you can't win.
How did you get that that first break? What did you do to break into the business?
Oh, I was my fraternity was on somewhat of the outs with our dean of students at Northeastern State University in Tahlequah. That's where I went to school, and our fraternity had we had shown poor judgment on some social functions.
Yeah, it happens from time to time.
Yeah, it happens. So I was asked we were asked to. We need to do more fundraisers and be a bigger part of the community. So we had a fundraiser and a variety of them, and pro wrestling was one of them. We did an event for our school gym, seated about 5,000 people, maybe a little under. And that's where I met Cowboy Bill Watts and Leroy McGurk and all those wrestling people in the 70s. And I was such a huge fan. I mean, it's pathetic. I think my dad probably thought I was a little bit temporarily insane. It's going to grow out of this cult following of pro wrestling, for God's sakes.
So, but you never did.
Anyway, I met guys, networked, got a chance to go to work for $125 a week, all in. I mean, all in. No taxes withheld, no expense money, no insurance. I get a kick out of these guys now on TV about the insurance deal. And insurance is important, don't get me wrong. But I was so ignorant and so wide-eyed that when I got in the business as an adult of 74, I was 22 years old, I didn't even think about the taxes. And apparently other people have that same analogy.
So you never did get over it, and your parents are probably thinking, wait, we sent you to college for that?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Until I came home one Christmas, and I had had a meeting with my financial planner, and I got my last paycheck of the year from Turner. And so and I had this issue with my dad. My dad and I had some strong issues getting along, to my fault. I was too much like him, and we had conflicts. And so I think I showed him my check stub, my last check stub for Turner, and he looked at the taxes withheld and said, "Damn, son, you had a hell of a good year." I said, "What are you looking at?" He said, "Right here. There's a ridiculous amount of money for the feds withholding on my taxes." I said, "Well, that's my taxes. Here's my year to date." And he got a look at his face got ashen. And he said, "God dang, son, are you selling drugs?" I said, "No, Daddy, I'm just working hard and in a crazy ass business, but it's so far so good." He said, "Well, I knew you ran away and joined the circus, but I really thought you'd come home by now."
So that was Turner. Was that the old WTBS? Is that what that was?
Yeah, working for Ted in the late '80s, and just I've had a lot of my life has been tied to this crazy business for better or for worse, and every milestones in my life have been tied to wrestling. My dad dies the night the Road Warriors return to Monday Night Raw. I get the phone call. That's in the book. My mother dies when Lawler and I are in the UK doing a UK-only pay-per-view. And that's in the book. And so everything's tied to wrestling, it seems like. And, it's just like this year. My wife gets killed in March as we're trying to finish this book, 30 seconds from our house. And I'm driving back from the studio recording my podcast. So wrestling has become, whether I wanted to or I didn't, has become a massive part of who I am, again, for better or for worse.
And I'm sure you didn't start out as the main announcer. How did you graduate up to that?
Oh, God. No, I started out $125 a week, and the weatherman in Davenport, Iowa makes more money than that.
Well, those of us in that business aren't sure about that statement.
I started out as the owner of the territory, the wrestling territory. The Sam Avey of Tulsa was Leroy McGurk. He was totally blind and thus was not a real good driver.
No.
So consequently, I was anointed as Leroy's new driver. So I was a gopher. He drank whiskey every day, a half a pint of whiskey every day. I bought that. I bought a box of cigars. He smoked six cigars a day. He'd work from 10 in the morning to about 4 in the afternoon. I'd go get him. I'd take him home. I did things like that, but I got to hang with him because he was his sight was impaired, obviously. And so I got to sit in on a lot of meetings and take notes. And I didn't even know how good I had it until later on in my career. But I started out at the very end of the rope and got lucky. And I tell that story in my book about how I showed up for TV one day at the TV taping, and Bill had forgotten, the cowboy had forgotten that the regular broadcaster was on vacation. So I got $100 and the run to Dillard's. So we went. I went to Dillard's. I got a blue blazer, a light blue shirt, a red tie. Looked like a weatherman in Davenport. And I went out and did my first wrestling show with no lie to tape with a blind partner with no preparation. Just how it worked. And I either survive those kind of things or you don't. And it was just meant to be, I guess.
And you were right in the middle of it all when it went from kind of a regional thing to a huge part of our culture. Who gets the credit for that?
Oh, gosh. I would say I was so lucky timing-wise. You know, I was in the business, in a good position in the business, when it went from being a regional operation, as you mentioned, to global. You know, the explosion of this business was amazing. I started out with a two-camera shoot using a stick mic. We didn't even have headphones. We had no communication with the truck. We got our cues from the camera operator. It was as base as you could get, man. So now, you know, we're doing WWE. I've done WrestleManias with, you know, 20 cameras and, you know, 18 TV trucks and all the semis out there and all that stuff. So it's pretty freaky. But it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot and gotten better and bigger. And I was there, just lucky, fortunate, meant to be, I guess. Good Lord had a plan. And I was in the right spot at the right time, saw pay-per-view becoming cool, and cable television became a big deal, and satellite television then became a big deal. And now the network, WWE Digital Network, is growing like crazy. So nobody has written a book on this entrepreneurial endeavor from a role that I have been able to be in. I've been a VP of broadcasting at WTVS. I've been an EVP at WWE. I've had really good opportunities, but all was surrounded by my love of broadcasting.
Now, you've been surrounded by wrestling, like you said, for quite some time. Now, are there any altercations that you've had, whether it be on camera or behind the scenes, with wrestlers or Vince McMahon or somebody that you critiqued on a broadcast or just got in somebody's way? Any that you would like to bring up on air?
The only one that strikes me first, and there's not been many, I had a run-in with Randy Savage at WWE's television facility in Stamford, Connecticut, that was broken up before it escalated and I got killed by Gorilla. And I talk about that in my book. Savage and I, although I still have phenomenal respect for him as an in-ring talent, he was a little challenging for me to get along with. And I'm sure if he were alive today, God bless his soul, that he would say, JR was hard for me to get along with. I get it. But we had some serious words, and I knew it was not going to end well. But I did know this. I knew it would end quickly. And so that was the only good part. But Monsoon intervention, it's a good story for the book and true, but it involves one of the more stronger personalities ever in the business than Savage. And, of course, Monsoon was like my godfather in WWE. When I got there from Turner for WCW, I was not I wasn't a five-star recruit. I wasn't wanted except by Vince. And then that's all that mattered. But Monsoon and Heenan, Bobby Heenan, God bless him, passed away last week, or this Sunday, they were my guys. They took me under their wing. They saw I was no territory guy. They saw I was an overachiever, just a fat kid from Eastern Oklahoma with a Southern accent. And then the Bell's palsy came about, and that really changed my game a lot, 3 bouts of facial paralysis.
Jim Ross is our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. The name of the book, Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. I mean, it used to be like ESPN and, you know, mainstream sports commentary would never discuss wrestling. Now they go out of their way to do so because they want to capitalize on the passionate audience. And so what you saw happen this past Sunday, JR, with the passing of Bobby Heenan, and also recently, really over the last month and a half or so, with Ric Flair, and now ESPN's doing a 30 for 30 on him, is that wrestling has become mainstream, even though it was kind of mainstream anyway. It just was categorized as being off to the side, but now networks realize it's in their best interest to essentially partner with wrestling because it's going to benefit them as far as viewers and listeners.
You're right. That's a great analogy. You're out on the spot on. Yep, you got it. Home run. We really needed that hit, too. We needed that information. You're right. The audience travels with wrestling. They travel. There are people, I would guess, because they're curious of how my book's going to go, and they've watched me work over the years, since the 70s, a lot of them, that they're curious about this radio show this morning, so they're tuning in.
Yes,
they should tune in every morning for you guys, obviously.
Well, but sure. I hope that we
thank you.
New fans there, but you're right though. People, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with guys that say, "Well, I don't." They have to do all the disclaimers at the beginning of the conversation. Their verbal paragraph begins with these disclaimers. Well, I don't watch it anymore. Click. I used to be a fan. Click. For some reason, I think I know you. Click. Excuse me. I hate to embarrass you, but would you happen to be that wrestling guy? Click. All the disclaimers are given before they start talking to me. I damn sure know they've been a fan. I know they still watch. I know they know a lot more about wrestling than they want to admit, but they don't want to. Their ego will not let them admit they like pro wrestling, or did like it, or followed it, or their grandma and I watched it. Some story. We all got a story. So that's kind of how I look at that deal. I've heard every disclaimer there is, and I just quit being – I quit doing that years ago. It adversely affected my first two marriages because I had two great women that I married. I overachieved both times, but they were not wrestling fans. And I was a major wrestling fan, and there was very little compromise there, unfortunately, to my own chagrin.
Can't you find Tori Wilson or Stacy Keibler and get together with them? I'm sure they were fans.
I think that's a fabulous idea. A great reality show. JR's dating line.
Well, when I was a kid, the stars were...
It had to be a,
go
it
ahead.
Has to be a 30-minute show, too. Everything closed. Everything, at this age, I don't even buy ripe bananas.
I started to say, when I was a kid, the stars were Dick the Bruiser and Lou Thesz and Pat O'Connor, and as big as they were to those of us who were watching at the time, they weren't chosen as leads in major motion pictures as the guys are today. It's really pretty amazing that a guy like The Rock has become the number one star in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, he's quite a phenomenal guy. He and I I recruited him and signed him to his first WWE contract. He was unemployed and had just got cut from the Calgary Stampeders practice squad. And I figured a big 6'5", 270-pound multi-ethnic guy that looked like him had a future, considering his grandfather and his father are both outstanding pro wrestlers. But we go to this place to have lunch, this Cuban place, and I remember what we had, black beans, rice, chicken, healthy stuff. I'll have what he's having. I felt like I was sitting with when Harry met Sally again. I'll have what he's having. So, because the reason I wanted to have what he was having, because every woman in the restaurant was coming by to ask if we needed anything, like water or tea or whatever. And I think that some of those women that dropped by our table didn't even work at the restaurant. So I figured out I got me something here. And he said, "I'd like to buy you lunch, JR. But I've only got $7 to my name." And so, ironically, the other day I was watching Ballers on HBO, and I see it's produced by $7 Entertainment.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Interesting story. So, but he was what a great recruit he was. And I got a really lucky fellow. Talk about right place, right time. You know, I had one recruiting class that had Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Dave Bautista, Randy Orton, and Shelton Benjamin in it. And those four guys have made a lot of money for wrestling in general and themselves, and all four of them are probably Hall of Fame-level guys to some degree before their careers are all said and done.
What would you be looking for when you'd be out looking for guys to bring on board?
Really basic stuff. Personality. Do I enjoy talking to you or listening to you talk to me? And reliability. Did you show up on time? Can I do a background check, and will I find that you've always been reliable? So you obviously are going to get athletes. So you're looking for an athletic job description, but you got to have personality and you got to be reliable. And it may sound really, well, I thought it'd be some secret formula JR had. No, reliability and personality, because I'm not going to interview you if you're not an athlete. I'm not going to interview you if you don't look like an athlete to some degree, or have such a unique look that I can't take my eyes off of you type thing. You know, McMahon's theory was always that people turn to look at this guy, our guy, when he walked to the airport. If our guys blend in at the airport, we might want to evaluate that.
And so how did you find them all? They've got to be scattered all over the country.
Networking. They the guys that want to get into wrestling, some of them won't admit it, even today. They all basically want to pass through WWE. And quite frankly, as a fan, as I am, and as a former EVP of that company and so forth, they have to go through there at least once. If you're a wrestler and you want to be somebody, and you want a chance to get recognized and get noticed, get discovered, like you mentioned The Rock a while ago, and John Cena in the process, same thing. Steve Austin, same thing. That, you know, you gotta have some WWE in your resume. So it's a destination for most every wrestler. And I think that, you know, the business is very healthy. Independent business is good. The wrestling business as a whole is good. But to get from where I started to get here today was a really an amazing journey. And one that I'm blessed to have. And I shouldn't have probably had in all rights, but I'm really blessed. I'm here, and this book has been years in the making. And you know, my first writing partner Scott Williams died unexpectedly last October, and then so I lost my writing partner. Then I find another writing partner I really liked, Paul O'Brien, who's got a great. He's so much ahead of me. It's not even funny, but he's in Ireland. That's a hell of a long way from Norman, Oklahoma. And then in March, I lose my real partner and my wife. So it's been challenging to get this dang thing done, but I felt obligated to finish the journey. And so we see the finish line. It's Tuesday. Barnes & Noble, you know, Books A Million, all these places. Anywhere books are sold, we're there. Amazon. I sent out a tweet this morning. Somebody had sent me. I retweeted that we're number one on the Amazon pre-orders. And there's some really good wrestling books out right now, and we're number one, so I appreciate that, and it looks like it's going to do well. So, fingers crossed, and I can tell you that if my wife was still here, she would be really enjoying this because she was a big part of what we kept in the book and what I didn't, and I had a lot of situations, guys, in my life where I made bad errors in judgment personally, and I talk about them, and because you need to know everything. Know how it ends.
Yeah.
Know what you could. And so the key thing was I wanted to be honest. And I'll tell you this. My granddaughters, I have a ninth grade granddaughter and a fifth grade granddaughter. They're going to read things about grandpa that their mom and dad never told them. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, but they're going to have a different image of grandpa the next time.
Jim and Ross.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not Hugh Hefner here. God bless his soul.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, but I did make – I lived through a decadent, defiant time where, you know, sometimes all my decisions weren't the best ones, and but I can learn. The only way you can get good out of this damn thing is to learn from it. So I think my book is full of life lessons, and it's got some funny stuff. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to dig the hell out of it. But if you're just a regular guy that wants to hear about a guy's journey, that's short chapters, easy to read. I think you're going to dig it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people to read and eye-opening, too, to some degree.
The name of the book, Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. Also, Jim Ross is currently hosting a weekly, wildly popular podcast, The Ross Report. Doug and I are starting a podcast ourselves. I interviewed, actually, Gary Pinkel, the former head coach of Missouri. Spent 90 minutes with him 2 days ago at his house in Columbia, JR. What do you have any recommendations for the business side of the podcast, because that's the thing that we're learning here, is it's kind of a new frontier as far as broadcasting goes. Any pro tips for us?
Oh, golly. You know, kicking out consistently, doing good work, and maintaining a schedule. If I want to invest in you guys on air with your audio, I need to know when the new shows are going to be out, and I need to know it's going to be there when I go look for it, all those things. I've just tried to continually to reestablish and identify who my audience is. And then I try to serve them, provide them content that we create that they like, or I think that they'll like. And thus far, because I'm still a fan, I'm still in that demo, I still think like a wrestling fan, that it's worked out well. We're averaging about a half a million downloads a week.
Wow.
I've had shows that have done 2 million downloads. Many, many shows over a million downloads. And I can tell you this, fellas, I just did my 185th, 190th show or something like that this week with Chris Jericho, actually, was my guest. And I didn't really realize, you know, what the podcast even was. Steve Austin convinced me to do it. And so I did it. And my agent and Jericho's agent, same guy. And so he was doing Chris's contract with Podcast One. And so Podcast One had approached him, and Steve closed the deal for Podcast One, essentially. But, you know, identify your audience and continue to give them what you believe that they are emotionally invested in. And always make sure they're number one and be consistent. Be reliable.
Yeah.
And be creative, and don't be afraid to step out of the box a little bit. So it's fun. I love creating content. You guys will do phenomenal at it because you got so many great things you can talk about that are have a regional interest that I have I've embraced Missouri football or the Royals or the Cardinals or, you know, whatever. You know, it's the Rams. Well, oops, no. They're gone.
Yeah. Although we still do spend a lot of time on the Rams. Don't get me wrong. Hate watching them, JR. Hate watching them. Probably like what you do with the Longhorns.
Well, yeah. And be honest, guys. We should grow up and be adults. We shouldn't hate another athletic team.
But we do.
We should. We do, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, awesome we do. Interview, man. I don't know how many texts we were getting throughout of this. People saying, I'll be ordering this book today is at the top of the text inbox. People love the interview. The name of the book, again, Slobber Knocker, My Life in Wrestling. Pre-order now. It's on sale everywhere on Tuesday. Jim Ross, good old JR. A pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you guys very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye, there he is, Jim Ross, Doug. You love good old JR.
Oh, well, who doesn't?
Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah, I think everybody does. Yeah, I like the story of the farm boy made good in the big city and the big country.
That's right.
Worldwide,
that's right.
No.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, now that you've heard his success with podcasting, are you now interested in kind of doing maybe like a little cooking channel?
Well, see, he's a professional broadcaster. He can talk forever. I'm just a guy who stumbled in off the street here. I don't think I'm cut out for this or any other business, really, in broadcasting.
Jay freaking R. What a great interview. He is my childhood. Watched WWE my whole life listening to this man. What a guy. Good job, Seamaster. Obviously wasn't the third stringer orange man that got this one. Thanks. That's from,
why did they have to put that in?
Because it was such a positive and then right at the end.
Because they can't text in without taking a shot at somebody. They can't do it.
Now, how about this They're one? Haters. It's from Kai Avorsky. Please have JR on the podcast, Tim. Great interview. Kai Avorsky. That was a good effing interview. Brandon in St. Charles. But he used the F word.
He did. He had to go there. Can you just keep it clean, please? Can you keep it positive and clean?
Listen, Iggy has a responsibility here. And he has been trying for my birthday to get Janine Lindemolder. For weeks, and then of course,
seasons.
It's true. It's now we're measuring her by seasons, and then of course with what's going on with Keisha Gray and Sydney Cole and Year of the Ricky, he was focused on that. So Seamaster's going to Seamaster, and he gets JR, and Iggy's monitoring the comings and goings in the San Fernando Valley. So what those are responsibilities.
We all have our bailiwicks.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I wanted to do a cooking show on the podcast, and I saw Frank last night saying he's doing a cooking show now.
He is?
Kind of stealing when I was
Cusimano?
Yeah, he's on Facebook saying, I'm going to do a weekly cooking segment. He was at Chris's Pancake and Dining talking about their Sicilian omelet.
Oh, gosh, that's sick. I'm thinking of Rennie right now.
Does Frank cook, or does he just talk about it?
He wasn't cooking. The chef was cooking, but I guess he's going to go
to... You're the real deal. You cook.
I want to do a podcast where I just do a dish, and I'll...
They'll say dish.
Start to
finish.
I like
that. Do a dish.
Plate it. Everything. I don't know who would pay for that, but I'd have fun doing it.
Yeah. A radio executive in town just texted me and says, Jim Ross needs a weekly syndicated radio show originated from 590. Fascinating guy. Listen to him, and I'm not even a wrestling fan. That's good stuff. I like those kind of interviews, Jack.
He's just a... He sounds like some of my relatives who were from Oklahoma and Kansas. Just
Elvin.
Got a little bit of that Midwestern twang, and they talk like good old boys. Yeah, I think maybe that's why I like him.
JR was a great interview, guys, even though Doug didn't ask a decent question. That's from Timmy. I mean, why can't we just leave
gotta
it there?
Got to take a shot at somebody.
Every time I try to be nice, Doug gets riled up, starts bucking, flexes a Kegel, and fractures me anthracite lingam. From Billy Ball now, or what's it, Lingam?
I don't know, but I do know what the suspension longule is. I have it in my hand. What is his name? Billy who? Billy Baldnumber?
Yeah. Billy Baldnumber. I wonder if he's one of the guys who performs down in...
But they don't have any teeth, and some of them can take their upper, their lower lip and pull it right up to their nose. I like that. To me, that's entertainment. Billy Baldnumber has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. He's not allowed to go in Branson.
Iggy almost got an 18-year-old meth head porn star on the show, but she, quote, broke up with her boyfriend, end quote. I'm sure it has nothing to do with Iggy asking for a piece of her hair after asking if she lost her virginity before she was 15. Doug, that's from Mario in Chicago, an unfortunate, unfortunate text.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I didn't ask her about that was somebody else, and I talked to her agent. I didn't talk to her, so... No.
Doug, can you please do a podcast on the varieties of tap water in the Mound City? Thanks.
Well, I love the tap water here. We got great tap water. I'll say that.
Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. That's how you can be involved in this radio program as we broadcast from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway, the right way at I-270 McDonald Boulevard online at St. Louis Buick GMC. .com. More than 38 service bays to serve you at Gateway Buick GMC. It's Gateway, the right way, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com, a loyal sponsor for many years. So if you're in the market for a new car, a used car, or to get your car serviced, make sure you do Gateway Buick GMC. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.